Father God, I'm just one of your children and one of the many preachers that's asking for your help this morning. I turn myself over to you. Help me to encourage your people. Encourage me, Lord. I pray that you will stay with us. Let us hear from thee. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In this passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, which was read before our hearing earlier, John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isles that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I like to read this scripture from the International Children's Bible, which says, I am John, and I am your brother in Christ. We together in Jesus, and we share in these things, in suffering, in the kingdom, and in patience. I was on the island of Patmos because I had preached God's message and the truth about Jesus. On the Lord's day, the Spirit took control of me. I heard a loud voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet. The voice said, write what you see and send that book to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. This is the first vision of the glorious Christ. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. We see that this first vision includes his command to write to the seven churches, and he is commanded to send the book to them. Same subject, stepping into a new reality, the real world, part 2. Last week we opened this first part of our subject, stepping into a new reality, and the topic was the real world, part 1. This week we move forward to part 2, and we take a look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Scholars agree that this is the first vision that Christ gives John. It is a vision of Christ himself, of Christ in his glory and exaltation. It is in this vision that the glorified Christ proclaims his message to the seven churches. But before he speaks to the seven churches, Christ gives John a glimpse of himself. Christ wants believers down through the centuries to know who it is leaders that has given this message or these messages to the churches. Our Lord Jesus the Christ, who is the supreme majesty of the universe, the one who possesses all power and knowledge, the one who provide and protect with complete assurance that he is able and capable to lead us even in our darkest and our most vulnerable, helpless, and defenseless hour to a reality of hope and light that empowers us to see a new vision of the Almighty Savior in our presence. He is the one who possesses all power and knowledge, the one who is able to secure, judge, and destroy. He is the author of Revelation, the one who has given us this awesome message of Revelation. This is the vision of the Son of Man, the glorified Christ himself. Little question about John being banished to the island for preaching the gospel of Christ. William Barclay says it was the unanimous tradition of the early church that John was banished to the island of Patmos in the reign of Domitian. And so that first thought that we need to have in the darkness or the darkest hour of humanity, oh, we need God. In the darkest hours of our human need, God is always there. God will meet us if we will only cast ourselves upon him and call for him. This was true with John when he was in exile, and it was true with others in their dark exile. Just because one is in exile doesn't mean that God is absent. Pulpit commentary makes the following point. Genesis 35:6 tells us it was in exile that Jacob saw God at Bethel. Exodus 3:1 and following tells us that it was in exile that Moses saw God at the burning bush. It was in exile that Elijah heard as a still small voice. It was in exile that Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord at the river of Chatter. It was in exile that Daniel saw the Ancient of Days. It was in exile that they saw hope in the midst of the darkest hour of their lives. They saw hope coming through. I testify with others that God will meet us if we will only cast ourselves upon him and call upon his name. We may have to struggle sometimes, but God, I declare, will meet us there, and he will give us a vision of hope and victory. You may be in exile right now, but turn to God, who's able to give you hope in the midst of your exile. This was true with John, and he was in exile. It was true with others, and they were in dark exile. It will be true for you and me. God has never failed us in our moment of exile. Even when we were wrong and out of place, he came to redeem us. He came to change us. He came to forgive us. He came to sanctify us. He came to lift us up. He came to glorify himself as us. Just because you may be in some kind of exile doesn't mean that God is absent from you. That's when God says, let me in and let me help you through this barren land, that I may show you that even in your darkest hour, even in your sickness, even in your turmoil, even in your despair, even in your rejection, I'm still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I can fix it for you. He came to redeem us. He came to empower us. He came to help us. And he came to change us. So don't focus on the problem, but focus on the promise. Too many of us focus on the problem. Oh, we're looking at the enemy instead of looking at the food and the blessings that the Lord has provided for us. We're complaining about this and that, but we're not sticking to the promise. When you stick to the promise, then the problem has no power, because the promise is over the problem. So here, all of what's happening, suffering in the kingdom, patience, I was on the Isle of Patmos preaching God's word, preaching the unadulterated gospel, preaching. And that's what got me out here. That's what got me on this island. But I'd rather be on this island with Jesus than to be in a mansion where my life won't be worth a nickel. I'd rather lose my life for the Lord and the kingdom than to gain my own life for myself. He was not afraid. He proved it in his age and in his experience and his relationship with the Lord. John said he preached God's message. He preached God's word. And he said that he preached the truth about Jesus. Oh, he must have told them that the Savior forgave sins. The Savior walked on the waters. The Savior fed 5,000 with just a little bit of food. The Savior raised the dead, helped the lame to walk, made the blind to see. Oh, the Savior. And they just couldn't take it. And then he says, Caesar's not Lord. Jesus is Lord. And he said that he preached the truth about Jesus. He just could not help himself. When you know him, you just can't help yourself. He said he had to testify about Jesus. God had been too good to him. Threats could not stop him. He preached the truth. And when the truth is in you, that's all you can preach. That's all you can preach. And the preaching wasn't just with his words, but the preaching was with his life. Although John was put on the Isle of Patmos in exile, he testified that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I found myself worshiping my Lord on the Lord's day. John did not concentrate on the circumstances that he was on a lonely island, that he had no people around that he could really relate to, that he was on his island. He didn't focus on that. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many people, when they have bad news, stay home instead of worshiping God? Stay home instead of giving God thanks. Stay home instead of trying to press their way. Stay home. Oh, a little bit of rain comes, stay home. A little bit of snow comes, stay home. Hasn't God been good? Oh, I thank God for you coming out today. The rain didn't stop you. You came out anyhow. Thanks be to God for you. But there are those who do not have that relationship with God. They could go to work in the snow and the rain, but when it comes to serving God, Satan takes precedence. Stay home. But John says, I was on the Isle of Patmos and I was in exile, but myself worshiping my Lord on a Lord's day. When bad news come, worship God anyhow. Worship God anyhow. Worship even harder when bad news come. Worship God anyhow. And think about all the good days that he did give you. Worship God anyhow. The voice was heard, and John was not afraid, but he listened to the voice that said, write what you see and send that book to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I have a message for them. Send it to Ephesus, the backsliding church, persistent in service, strong in discipline, but with love growing cold. Send the message to them. Send it to Smyrna, the poor but truly rich church, facing a period of persecution. Send it to Pergamon, the church of evil surrounding, steadfast, but in effect, affected with heresy. Send it to Thyatira, the church of good works, but laboring a false prophetess. Send it to Sardis, the dying church. Send it to Philadelphia, the weak but faithful church. Send it to Laodicea, the lukewarm, self-satisfied church, boasting of her wealth while poor and miserable and blind. Send it to them. What message is the Lord sending to Victory Baptist Church? Out of all of this, out of these seven churches, which church do we represent? And even better yet, which church do you represent?